Let's get to our guest, Einar Tangen, Senior Fellow, Taiha Institute, and Chairman of Asian Narratives with us to discuss what we're seeing happening before our very eyes in China, the COVID updates, the change in policy, the end of isolation, opening up to the outside world. It's all very exciting, but it carries both benefits and perhaps a few things to be concerned about. Einar, thanks very much for being with us. I suppose let's start with some of the issues here, because you already see flights really packed because the airlines haven't put on enough capacity to really handle it. And now you're going to have Chinese citizens traveling all around the world. That's just one example, but there must be many like that. How even is this going to be as we move forward?
Well, it's going to probably be pretty explosive. The Chinese here, economists coming out of Beijing, Shanghai, are predicting a very sharp V recovery. And that's going to be very good for the rest of the world. I mean, Chinese tourists are the number one source of tourism in the world prior to 2019, and it looks like they're going to be back with a vengeance. Question is, how long will it last?
The question is also what prompted this sudden shift, the swift movement, the sudden reversal in zero COVID policy. What's your understanding? What's your own reading?
Well, I live here in Beijing, and I saw the protests. But you have to remember, we're talking about a few thousand people spread out over 20 cities, mostly in colleges where there's a tremendous amount of frustration going on. But that really wasn't the seminal event. I think what really pushed things along was so many people in China looking at the World Cup, you know, seeing stadiums just completely packed, seeing people on the field just, quote, living a normal life. And so there is a sense that, okay, maybe this is the time to open up. I don't know if they were as prepared as they could be, but remember, prior to all of this concern about opening up, everyone was concerned about China not opening up. And they said, oh, you know, why are you doing this? This is regressive and repressive and all these things. And China was getting a very bad rap. As soon as it opened up, it seems that China's terrible because it's opened up.
Well, I think that a lot of people will look at this as a net positive. I mean, there are issues, you know, that are attached to almost anything that you do with public policy. But if this is a positive going forward, who benefits the most? Is it the Chinese people themselves? I mean, are they ready for it? Are they, you know, are they ready to consume?
Oh, boy, are they ready to consume. Right now, they're going through this period where they're adjusting. I mean, when the government said, okay, now you're pretty much free to go around. There's no testing. You know, when I get into the equivalent of a DD, which you call a hired car, no longer am I required to register anything, even going into buildings. There's only a few areas like hospitals where they want you to have a pretest so that you're not actively spreading around, since, of course, that's where sick people are and people who are, have comorbidities and would be likely to suffer because of this. But other than that, things are pretty much open. But people are responding by being very cautious. Right now, we're back to traffic jams in Beijing. The subways are loaded. People are just going back to work. But in the evenings, you don't see the large numbers of people out there at the clubs. There are clubs very near my house, so I can see their activity from my window. They are back in full force. But other places, you know, if you go out to the restaurants, as I said, it's about half full. I expect that to change dramatically, though, in about a week.
Einar, Chinese tech, real estate, gaming, they've all been targeted by the government. Is the clampdown in all its forms over? I mean, what might be the thinking be now as the government focuses on growth?
Well, I mean, people kind of get mixed messages from the Chinese government, and they really shouldn't. This is a socialist government. What they do is they measure things in terms of the society. So they will continue to keep a very, very close eye on any kind of monopolies. They did not like the video gaming industry because it was literally, you know, sucking up a lot of time of young people. They would just go from studying too much to using video games as a distraction. And it wasn't really a very balanced life. So there's an example where, from the government's point of view, it was necessary to intercede. And that's what it is. It's not about trying to depress the profits of Alibaba. It's really about helping the people.
Einar, thanks very much for being with us. We really appreciate it. Einar Tangen, Senior Fellow, Taihe Institute, and Chairman of Asia Narratives.